Blog Talk Radio.
It was the night before Christmas, and all.
Uh-oh.
Hold it now, wait, hold it. That's played out. Hit it.
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a rhyme. Gonna shake it, gonna bake it, gonna make it good. Gonna rock, shock, knock it through your neighborhood. Gonna read, gonna sing it till it's understood. My rap about to happen like a knee. I told you been tapping on a hunk of wood. Bought a red through the dew with a friendly attitude.
And what Curtis said,
man. Got a long white beard, maybe look kind of weird.
No
care. He can give me quite a shock.
I can't deal with that Curtis or Curtis Blow. Curtis Gatewood or Curtis Blow.
Now people let me tell you about last year when the dude came flying over here. Well, the hawk was out, the
stones
on the ground. Folks stayed in 240 down. The beast was thumping on the box. And I was dancing in my socks. And the drummer played at a solid pace.
Solid pace.
And the taste of the bass was in my face. And the guitar player laid down the heavy layer of the funky chunky rhythm of the disco beat. And the guy with the 88 started to participate. And I could sure appreciate the sound so sweet. In the mood, though we had a little food and a joke and a smoke and a little bit of wine. When I thought I heard a hoop on the top of the roof, could it be it wasn't me? I was feeling super fine, so I went to the attic where I thought I heard the static on the chance that the fans put the body breaking in. Put the noise on the top, put the reindeer top, the trick say hey, and I let the sucker in. Cool thing about going live, man. You know, stuff happens, you know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome to the Brothers for Real Radio Show. My name is Leon. I'm on the line with my big brother, Robert, who is actually the owner and producer, I guess you would call it, of this show. And so many shows around the country, throughout the land.
Wow.
The man with a plan. Man with the plan, man.
Wow.
tell us about some of your other shows, man, right quick. Because I tell you, man, I'm impressed. I'm impressed. Yeah.
Well, I got into this business about 10 years ago, inspired by the Reverend Dr. W.H. Gatewood, as he was about to transcend this earth and go to the great beyond. I was negotiating with Radio One about starting a radio show. I never
Radio
heard of
One.
A show before, but it was just something. Yeah, it was something that's I always
big.
Wanted to do. That's big. That's big. That's about big as it gets. And we finally agreed, and we started the show back in May of 2010. And the show just it kind of lingered for about a year. I'm just on there giving out content. Then one day, it just took off. I started getting calls from people who wanted to be guests on the show, who wanted to be co-hosts, who wanted to advertise on the show. And then I started expanding it and finding talent and setting up people with their own shows. And most recently, we started producing the Neely Fuller show, Produce Justice, the Counter-Racist Code. And we produced that show. Matter of fact, Leon, you are one of the engineers on that show as well with me. And every Tuesday morning, we're producing that show, and that goes out all over the world, really. We get calls from everywhere. We got a call from Madagascar this past Tuesday. We've gotten it from Africa, Canada, France, Italy. And so just glad to be able, but I'm just glad to be able to bring this information that's so vital to provide a balance to some of the other propaganda that's out here. And we try to keep it real. I think that's the difference between the Brothers For Real and all the shows that we work with. We're unfiltered, uncut. We try to give people the real story. And so, and the Brothers For Real is the embodiment of what the marketing pulpit is able to do, put shows out here with people who can just really tell it like it is.
Yeah, I was going to give just a little tad bit of the history of the Brothers For Real show. I actually called Robert one day and said, "Hey, Robert, won't you give the brothers a show? Won't you let us do a show? We have a lot to say," I thought. Anyway, so Robert said, "Let's do it." That's all he said, "Let's do it. That's the way it is. Let's do it."
Yeah.
And I tell the folks out here now, man, that's the attitude we need to take on a lot of things right now. Hey, let's do it. You have an idea?
That's the power of freedom. That's the power of being your own boss, owning your own platform. You don't have to run things up flagpoles to see who salutes. You don't have to throw things on the wall to see if it sticks. Now, that doesn't mean you're being autocratic. That means that if you have the skill, if you have the knowledge, and you're working around folks that you trust and believe in, then if you like it, you do it, period.
Hey, Robert.
Yo.
Robert.
Yes, sir.
What does autocratic mean, man? I'm sorry. I'm just slow.
Well, somebody who's authoritarian, somebody who doesn't believe in democracy or the opinion of others. So we take the approach. I mean, it's an approach of believing in the people that you surround yourself with. When you don't believe in the folks that are around you, you're always second guessing and questioning and overthinking because you don't believe in them, you don't trust them. But when you say, "Let's do a show," that's a hell. Leon's a smart guy. That guy, he has a. There's no reason for me to sit here and to overanalyze this. The minute you said it, I said, "Hey, I like it. Let's do it."
Man, that's flattering.
Second thought.
That's flattering, man.
And when we thought about who was going to be on the show, we talking about the brothers. We talking about Joseph. We talking about Curtis. We talking about yourself. Even little brother Daniel. I said, now how can you go wrong
yourself.
With a show with that kind of talent?
Yeah.
So.
Well, Robert, Curtis just joined in, man. Curtis, you picked the wrong night to be late, man. I'm gonna tell you why I say this though, because Robert started the show off with Christmas rapping.
Night before Christmas, and all through the
Holy now,
I told him, Curtis, no, this thing always backwards and forwards, man. Give it to him, man.
Don't give me all that jazz about things you wrote before I was alive. This ain't 1823, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920, 1920.
Now I'm
the guy named Curtis Blow. Hey, Chris Smith, one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I'm
going to
break in on the
rhymes.
Play the music all day if you want to.
What do you say, Robert?
That's the other thing of being
We're gonna give you the instrumental version.
Is it on the beat or is it coming out different since it's on here and you there?
Where is it, Rep?
Is it coming on through the beat? Is it on the beat? Or is it different?
No,
since you're there and I'm here. You know,
yeah, it sounds like you were a little kid following them. That's what it was.
They're not going to be together. That's not going to work.
They're not. Okay. All right, then.
Right.
We won't do that then.
Yeah.
How your brother doing tonight? Looks like. Yeah, how your brother doing tonight, man?
Doing great.
Curtis, how you doing tonight, man? You doing all right?
Hey, man, I'm doing great, man. To all the people, man. Say it's gonna break, it's gonna make it good. Gonna rock, talk, rock up in your neighborhood. This is
hey.
Good. Yeah,
hey.
We're doing great, man. Doing great.
Hey.
We are here.
Well, I was thinking about Christmas and how we used to have Christmas at home. You know, I was, I guess I was about 16 when I decided I would stop believing in Santa Claus. And here's the deal, though. I know that's a little old for some kids. But the deal was, I knew once I stopped believing in Santa Claus, Daddy was going to stop buying me, you know, cap pistols, you know? So I believed in Santa Claus. I drug it out, boys. I drug it out.
Hey, you know what,
I messed up. I went down there and told Mama, can y'all hurry up and get the toys? I know there ain't no Santa Claus. Boy, I messed up when I did that.
Yeah, you blew it.
I haven't had a Christmas.
Hey, guys.
Good.
I stretched it out because I was driving my bus. I was trying to get home in time for Santa Claus, so I knew. I said, maybe I'm...
I was stretching this thing a little far. Yeah. But I'm telling you, man, the reason why I'm going to tell you, man, this is why I try not to. Well, I didn't do Santa Claus with my daughter. One of the things, I know she was mad at me because she wanted to have Santa Claus and all that. But one of the things that really hurt me the most, let me tell you, man, you know, because this is why I believe in Santa Claus. I believe because Mama and Daddy told me. And I was at school fighting, defending Santa Claus. Because these guys were at the Christmas parade, and I think I'm probably about in 7th or 8th grade. Hey. And they were shooting pea shooters at Santa Claus at the end of the parade, you know, because Santa Claus would come, he'd be the last person in the parade. And they had pea shooters shooting Santa Claus. Man, I jumped out there, man, y'all stop doing that to Santa Claus. Stop it. You know, I almost got beat up messing with Santa Claus.
Yeah.
That explains quite a few things. That explains your aversion to the big dude.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. I was like, I don't want anybody. And I couldn't believe it, man. I said, they've been telling me that Santa Claus, there's no Santa Claus. I can't believe it. Cause I Mama kind of tried to. One year, I can remember Mama tried to kind of ease my thoughts about it. Because they were getting ready to do the thing where they say, we're going to pay Santa Claus. You know how Mom and them would say that? They said, we're getting ready to go to pay Santa Claus, but we had to stay home. And so I said, Mama, y'all going all the way to the North Pole. And then she looked at me. She had like, she didn't want to go over so far with it. She said, you'll know when you grow up. And then she left. Yeah. Because things were not adding up for me. You know, we knew he couldn't come down our chimney. He'd end up in the heater. And we knew there was just certain things that didn't fly with that story. But, you know. Hey, man, and by the way, though, this is really something, guys. I really have to tell you guys this. Man, I watched Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer last night with my family.
Oh, man.
I just told somebody the other day, if I don't see that, nobody gets guilty.
The abominable snowman and all, the whole thing, man.
Man.
We saw it,
man.
Last
the
night.
Little man.
And I was sitting there,
hey,
crying, Curtis, man.
The little man that throw the pit in it, the ice pit in the air, and it come down and go.
Lick. Yeah. Like he's looking for gold or something.
That Klondike,
all,
what's his name?
And the little misfit, that want to be the dentist, one of them want to be the dentist, you know, the misfit that was
the
little elf.
And he pulled the abominable snowman's tooth out, didn't he?
Right, exactly. Man, I was sitting there about to cry.
Y'all gonna have me on YouTube in a minute, looking up Frosty the Snow. Let's see what Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Hey man, check it out. You know, we're slow to buy any movies, you know, because, you know, we have Netflix and all that. And next, there's certain movies you got to buy off Netflix. Because there's so, you know, you would think there are so many movies, why would you need to buy one off Netflix? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer happened to be one of them. And we, for the first time, we bought a movie. We bought Rudolph.
What?
I shouldn't be telling people this. But the reason why is because it has so much sentiment, man. When I think about you guys, thinking about us sitting around that little black and white TV, us growing up, man, it was just, and like this is what I used to say. It was not Christmas until you saw that darn Rudolph episode.
Hey,
didn't somebody get hit upside the head
in the movie? Somebody got hit upside the head, didn't they? I remember seeing blood. Who got hit upside the head?
I don't know about blood, but I know that abominable snowman picked up Rudolph and threw him down. But you know,
so they had a good fight.
He stayed out.
And they pushed the abominable snowman off the cliff, man.
Right.
Oh man. Did he survive?
He came back.
Well, he came back.
He was a little docile when he came back, though.
Man, you guys crazy, man. I hope nobody's listening tonight. Anybody listening out there to this foolishness?
Hey, was there Frosty the Snowman too, though?
That was another one. I recall that being your
that
favorite one,
one,
Robert.
Frosty the Snowman.
That was another, but
yeah, that was your
you
favorite,
that
Robert.
That
I remember
snowman.
That.
But you do know there was a snowman on Rudolph that did most, that hosted, you know, that did the narrating.
Burl Ives, that joker can move around with no feet, man. He just slide around. Mm-hmm. That's the cool thing.
And he looked just like the man that, you know,
he sure did.
Little
mustache, eyeglasses.
Man, I hope nobody's listening tonight. The boy.
He looked just like that joker, man.
Hey,
he looked just
like
that joker, though, man.
It's brother for real.
Yeah,
we keep it real.
Hey, man, I'm telling you, we're keeping it real tonight. I'm going to tell everybody, man, when we grew up, we were happy. Man, we were some happy children. And I'm going to tell you, our parents, man, they knew how to make us happy. We, you know, I don't ever remember really just being like some of these children I see today that just seem like they just have something missing, like they're just not really excited about life or their families. They just... I cry sometimes just looking at children today, like they're just so empty. Some of them just angry. Mm. Some of them are just deprived. And Dr. Jawanza Kanjufu used to say it is because a lot of the parents today give their children things and not time.
Mm.
And so they get a lot of things, but they don't get time. And we got time, man. We had a full-time mama. A daddy who would come around and cheer you up. He had his own little way of playing his little games and Santa Claus, whatever it might be. But, you know, we had it really rocking. And so that's why I don't mind talking about Rudolph and all the other stuff that we used to do, whether it's looking at Rudolph, looking at the Ed Sullivan Show or Red Skelton or Amos and Andy, whatever it might have been at the time. You know, we just had it going on with our little one little TV. Maybe two channels at the most, mainly one, Channel 9. And, you know, we just had fun, man. And we were running around in the yard, you know, playing with each other. I mean, children just don't get that stuff right now. You know, they're sitting around on some type of computer, phone, or iPad, or something like that. Fairly seldom go outside. You know, we'll be running around, you know, just having fun.
Yeah, that's what that's all we did, man. Had a lot of fun. They said we were poor, man. Which I don't know. I didn't know. I couldn't tell.
We were wealthy, man. You know what? I know that came up before, but I clear, man. We just have to. We're gonna have to redefine wealth. Those of us who know better, you know, because sometimes these people with money, they're out somewhere trying to plot on how they're gonna kill it, why they take the insurance money, find them cut up in little pieces, all kind of crazy stuff. Man, we were happy, man, and I consider that wealth. We had wealth, we had happiness, we had a spiritual wealth, and that takes over all wealth. Because I don't care how much money you get. Look at that crazy man in the White House. He's supposed to be wealthy. He had $400 million as a child. He's crazy as hell.
Sure.
I mean, and miserable.
I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
You just said something, man. That's a very noble project, a very noble goal, is to redefine wealth. Now, I've been tackling this topic kind of on a surface level on my show and in some of my speeches and so forth, is that the way wealth is defined,
mm-hmm.
It's going to always favor the folks with the most money.
Exactly.
They could be morally, spiritually bankrupt, but still
right.
Society is lionizing them because of their bank account. When they are so bereft and have so many deficits in so many areas, they shouldn't even be called wealthy, as far as I'm concerned.
Exactly, brother.
Essentially, you guys bring this up because we have a program here that we work with now called Holler's the local sponsors of the host of an organization called Networks, the local host. And Networks tackles poverty, holistic poverty. So it's basically what you guys are saying, that you can be poor and rich, but you can be, you know, financially rich but poor mentally.
Right.
And in so many other ways, socially. You can be poor socially. Yeah. Spiritually. Yeah, there's so many ways to be poor.
Right.
That you know, just to say money is just not fair.
I was reading a meme or a post on a social media post, and there's a group of a company, a young brother and sister, and they were saying that don't take advice when somebody's trying to give you advice. Don't ask for their bank account, and that will pretty much validate whether or not their advice is worthy or not. And I said that is so what's wrong with this country. So that means you should take advice from Donald Trump. You know what I mean? I mean, it's sick.
Mitch
McConnell. It made me sick. And
all those guys in there.
Have been like person calling themselves a leader.
Man,
this
all they have
somebody,
to do.
This person has millions of followers on Instagram. Supposed to be, and everybody that yes, amening. I'm saying, Lord have mercy. No wonder we're going off a cliff. No wonder we're going to hell in a handbasket. Some of your most prolific and well-bred and scholarly people, like Dr. King, for instance, didn't have a pot to piss in, Harley. You're going to not take his advice? You're not going to take the advice of Gandhi? You're not going to take the advice of all these great people out here who put themselves, their family, their livelihood on the line for the betterment of mankind? To me, those are the wealthy people. If you
and
me.
Robert,
uh-huh.
And you had Malcolm X, who didn't even graduate from high school.
Mm-hmm.
He read an encyclopedia from A to Z, I mean a dictionary. You are not going to take advice from this brother? I mean, who exemplifies courage, moral standards, integrity, and you can't take his advice because, you know, he didn't spend all of his time, you know, being comfortable, trying to work in a bank or trying to get as much money as he could from a bank or some type of other account. You're not going to take his advice. You know, and unfortunately, Robert and Leon, that sentiment also you would find it in the church. You would find many people who think that their blessings come through materialism. And if you believe that, then are you suggesting to me that the slaves and all the, I mean, that the slave master and all those people who use guns, violence, hatred, murder, racism to take people's ideas, their land, their merchandise and everything else. They use guns and intimidation to take it. So you're saying to me those are the blessed people and the people they took it from and left poor and their children poor. Those people are not blessed. And if you read the scriptures, Jesus, since we talked about Rudolph, I want you to talk about Jesus for a minute, the real reason for the season. Jesus is saying clearly out of his mouth that he hangs with the poor. He wants you to treat the poor right. He's saying if you mistreated them, you mistreated me.
Wow.
And so yet we are talking about running behind people who are the murderers, the thieves, the corrupt, the Trumps, and all those people, and acting as if we can get like them, we've been blessed. And the last thing I'd say, there's a proverb which says, be ye not envious of the oppressor, and choose none of his ways.
Yeah, that's deep stuff, man. But yeah, I can't think of a whole lot of, you know, I know some very well off people that are very nice people, but I do know some real worms. So I definitely wouldn't use that as a guidepost for who I take advice from, you know. And of course, it depends on what kind of advice you want. You know, if you want to know how to cheat, steal people, steal from people, of course you call Donald Trump or somebody like that. Then and there are some people, you know, decent people like investors and stuff who know how to generate money and stuff like that. And we can, of course, talk to them. But like I say, that is not a guidepost. Even some of the investors, of course, you know, they're what I'm trying to say. But yeah.
Well, Leon,
so,
look at it this way. Look at it this way. We have to look at people in their totality.
That's right.
If money is the only thing that matters to you, then I guarantee you, there's something in you that's wrong. If that's the only thing that is important to you,
come on,
you have some serious shortcomings.
You boys preaching.
I'm not saying
preaching.
You can make a lot of money, and you might make it better than anybody else. But that's not a person I want to emulate. I'm just going to tell you right now. I want to emulate. If I'm going to emulate somebody, I want a well-rounded person. I want somebody who understands money. Understands the importance of it, knows how it works, how it can benefit us as a community. But I also want that person to have to be spiritual. I want that person to have morality. I want that person to care about the planet that we live on, care about climate, care about civil rights, human rights, justice. I want to see that entire person. That's the person, if I'm going to take somebody's advice, I want to take that advice from somebody who understands how the whole process comes together and how it's going to help us as mankind, not just that individual, because somebody, if their only purpose is money, you're talking about somebody who's selfish, who's probably greedy, who's probably stepped on some people. And they, like you said, if you want to put it in a biblical context, they definitely not getting into heaven.
Right.
So,
hey, man, let me tell you something else to this. Man, I want to see this show. I want to hear this show again already, man. You're recording this show. Man, I want to hear it again already. Boy, that's y'all some good stuff. Look, check this out, though. Another thing why people can't just look at somebody's bank account. I know you all have seen, if you watch Forensic File, LNN, and all some of these shows that are based on true stories, some of these men will kill their wives to get insurance money. They will take out a policy on the wife and get with somebody else that they might be going with out there in the community or whomever and plot to kill the person that they are supposed to be loving and unified and the person that's supposed to be the soulmate, they will murder that person to get insurance money. Now, some of them, a lot of times they might get caught, but it's not always the case. And I'm just trying to tell people, people are doing crazy things to get money. And if, like you said, Robert, if money and materialism is the only thing that's driving you, you are in trouble. And Jesus put it like this. He said, for what is a man profit if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul?
Amen. Amen to that, brother. Look, Robert, we're going to take a quick break, man. I want to just remind our guests to call in number is 215-383-3872. If you got something on your mind, please feel free to call in and talk to the brothers. We want to hear from you. And also, when we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the things that have impacted our personal lives as well as the country and the world when we come back. All right. Brothers for Real Radio Show, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Been some magic here that old silk hat they found.
Guys on their YouTube or anywhere you can look up a piece of music. The Jackson said on their Destiny album, which came out around 1978, some of you guys listening weren't born then. However, the Jackson said that song Destiny, well, the album Destiny, I think that's the one there, Can You Feel It and all that stuff, maybe, I don't know. But there's a song they're called Bless His Soul.
Mm-hmm.
Bless His Soul. That song, man, it makes me cry almost every time I listen to it. Because the first time I heard it, they had this thing called at Livingstone College called Upward Bound, and I was a peer counselor. And I would sit there and just have my little boombox. I was a strange little guy back then. I went around my boombox and I'd sit it on the cafeteria table and watch the younger kids go play around with each other, and I just felt like my adulthood was, you know, imminent. I felt like I was getting ready to go into adulthood because I was a tutor and mentor to these younger kids. And that song used to play, and it was just, and I think it did something to me, you know. I think it, anyway, the song is Bless His Soul, and it's on the Jackson 5 Destiny album made back in 1978. Well, look, guys, here's what I'm talking about.
Bless his soul.
Yes, sir.
Never heard of
yes,
it.
Sir.
Look it up.
Never heard of it. It's beautiful, man. It's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. Look, guys, I want to talk about COVID for a minute. The COVID thing is really firing up. It's hot right now. In case you guys don't know, it's hot. And it's there are all different kinds of strands, mutated strands coming up. Yeah, that.
Great, sorry.
And no problem. So, I'm really getting a little anxious about it, and I say that because friends of mine are getting it, and people I know, we have so many people that have been dying from this disease for so long now, people that we know. And I'm not trying to scare anybody, of course, but so many, you know, like they say, only 1% of the people who get it die from it, but there are so many people getting it, you know, and, you, and normally if you're in reasonably good health, you'll make it through it, but that's not always the case, and I'm not trying to scare anybody again. So, but what we're learning is, and what we're experiencing, or what I'm noticing is, and hearing is, the healthcare officials, these guys, you know, they're really getting burned out. I mean, I can't even imagine what some of them are going through. It's like they're having to be social workers, counselors, and doctors and nurses, you know, and all of this, the people in the healthcare field are really getting overwhelmed by it. And I guess you say that's what they bought into, but really they didn't. And what you're finding is, and what we need to pay attention to is on the holidays and things of this nature, how Americans especially ignore, you know, they ignore the advice of the professionals. You know, they say, "Won't you guys stay home? Please don't travel." More people traveling than ever. It's just crazy out here, man. But I just want the people that are listening to me tonight to know that we're keeping you in prayer, and the people we want you to listen to the advice of people that are giving you sound advice, because in America there's so many mixed messages thanks to the chief, the president guy. So much false and mixed information has been going out that Americans are really suffering from this thing, and I just hope and pray there is something that can happen to slow this down. Of course now they have the vaccine. And of course now we as black folks are skeptical of most things that come out from this government. And it does, and it has come out kind of like a government, well, for sure, a government-operated program, even though the vaccines were not brought or discovered, or however you want to put it, by the government. They were done by private companies. But it's kind of, it seems like a government project. And of course, black folk don't trust the government. And we have great reasons not to. So here's what I want to ask. Here's how I want to ask this question to the brothers. I think we may have discussed this once before. But I want to know, how do you think we should address or approach the vaccine? Because the vaccine is actually it's the hope. If you can't get this thing under control, there is not much hope, especially in our community. So you could kind of say we're between a rock and a hard place, or a damned if you do, damned if you don't, damned if you do, damned if you don't situation.
Let me give one little thing about the vaccine, because I do know we have people in our families who are probably working in the field of health, and they probably have to take the vaccine and all that. So I'm not in any way out to discourage anybody that probably should take it, especially if it's proven to be something that could work. I think where black people have the problem, and I know I certainly do, is where they try to take one issue and then make it an issue to kind of, I would say, try to use a false equivalence to justify something that really is bought on by not necessarily something that's in the best interest of black people. Here's the point. Like, for example, black folk, we have been, you know, discriminated historically. You know, we don't have to even, everybody knows, it wasn't just slavery, but after so much happened after slavery, so much intimidation, terrorism, people went centuries without being provided education. And so it created so many disadvantages. It's not just wealth. And one of the disadvantages, of course, became health, because we were ultimately being denied health insurance and a lot of other things through poverty, systemic racism, and so on. So that's one issue. So when the pandemic hit and it disproportionately started to look as if it was having a disparate impact on African Americans, when white people use that and say, well, that means you should take the vaccine first, that brings suspicion, because what black folk really needed first was justice. We need reparations. We need money. We need finances. And so when you try to use something like that to say that they should be first for a vaccine that had not yet been proven, even the experts seem to be confused about which vaccine would be most effective. Once you take that vaccine, then you got to take another one in 28 days. There's just so many different things that, you know, happen with this vaccine that seem to be unknown, the side effects, so on and so forth. So what we don't want to see, I think what a lot of the black folk is, to suggest that we should be the first ones to take it, or somewhat like the guinea pigs. So, you know, there are videos out there where you see people talking on the radio, on the TV, to, you know, and I think they meant well, but they were like, they would be like, blacks and Latinos should be the first to take it. They're saying it because maybe they're right in the fact in how it is having a disproportionate impact on African American and Latino communities. But when you hear that being said about a drug that's coming out of the Trump administration's government, it can cause pause, especially from a president who had first told you that you should inject yourself with disinfect. Try it. He would say, try it, take it, you have nothing to lose. And then he started saying he wanted to hurry up and have one by election time, a vaccine. And so there have just been so many things, and then people start thinking about the Tuskegee experiment that was supposed to be, you know. So there are just some systemic things that would make African Americans not trust vaccines, and especially when they're targeting the black community first. So I think if there's just the general distribution, let's try to get it out there. Let's try to help people. People can take it if they choose. You know, you just start seeing how it thinks. Start with the health community. They're on the front line, so on and so forth. If people just start doing those types of things, it might take some of the suspicion out of it. But anything that says vaccines should go first to black folks, I'm going to say, hold up.
I don't think they're saying that right now, are they?
Yeah, I mean, I don't. But I'm just saying that. I'm just saying that I think is what would cause people who study history
to be
suspicious and not want to be the first to take it. This is not to say you should never take it. This is not to say it's not going to work. This is not to say that we want to have folks dying because we don't believe in medicine. You know, that's not any of that type of stuff. It's just saying, stop, look, listen. See what's going on. See what some of the side effects are. You know, see who, you know, how it's really impacting the disease. Is it more problematic to have the vaccine than the disease? Have we studied enough to know enough about it? Are all these deaths actually created by COVID-19, or some of these people dying and they just happen to have COVID-19. You know, you just got a lot of things that you have to answer, and it's a lot right now. People want to be well, but people also do not want to be guinea pigs, and I think that's what it just boils down to.
Yeah, I think that's the big deal. And we're going to always think that it's going to be difficult to break our way of thinking on that. But here's what I would like to know. I think we really need to decide. The information needs to really get out in the community. That there's got to be, we have to do all hands on deck as far as fighting this virus, because it is a problem and it is killing people.
That's right.
So we have to have all hands on deck. We need to make sure we understand everything about it.
Leon, I want to remind you of something else, and then I'll be finished. There was also, if you recall, the director of the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, He said
about a young black guy.
Talking
about the guy that's there now. Talking about the guy there now. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Trump got mad because he said this. But this is one thing he said. He said the mask could be more preventive than the vaccine. He said because, you know, getting the vaccine, you know, we may not necessarily know where that's headed. But we do know if you cover yourself up in the event that you have it or if someone else has it, you have a better chance of reducing the possibility or the probability of contracting the disease. So my thing would be, one thing we do know or we should do, regardless of whether the vaccine comes or not, regardless of whether we take the vaccine or not, we should take every known precaution there is. Wearing a mask, you talked about it earlier, people still traveling when they should be somewhere, you know, isolated, home, or minimizing the people that they come in contact with. I think those are things that we know we can say right now to do everything you can to cover yourself up when you go out and minimize contact. Because that's going to be the key, because what you also don't want to happen is to have a false sense of the immunity that might be created by getting the shot. Some people might think, well, I got the shot. Now, I'm good. So I would say whatever we try to do.
Yeah, they're kind of telling you better than that. These guys are saying, you got, even if you take the vaccine, you still got to wear your mask and stuff like that. So,
that's
depressing.
Yeah, I think that message should be going out from all of us, is to do everything you can to minimize getting the disease, whether you get the shot or not.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. That's the reason I brought this up, because the healthcare workers are really getting frustrated, and they I know this, they're getting upset when people come in with the virus, because now they're thinking if you're coming in there with the virus, it's because you're being negligent, and they're kind of having a funky attitude, no doubt. And you can't hardly, you have to kind of understand that. They're like, man, you should have been with your man. We told y'all to stay home. We told y'all not to go to that Trump rally, you know, that kind of stuff. Much going on and it's going to get ugly. It's going to get ugly because people that work in the healthcare field are actually risking their lives to help, and it's gonna get, if we're not real careful, it's gonna get funky. Anyway, I'm gonna read this right quick. There's a couple of things. This guy said, as a doctor, I plead with you to cancel your holiday plans.
Mm-hmm.
He said, as a doctor, I plead with you. He said, I say this because I spoke to you or someone just like you in the weeks after Thanksgiving. I continued talking to you with your fever and chills, your persistent cough, your severe headache, your body aches and diarrhea, your loss of smell and taste, your nasal congestion, your head cold, your audibly worsening shortness of breath. So he's just kind of saying, I hear you, so really we got to work to make sure we're doing the best we can. And God knows, I believe, it's sad to say, it's hard to dodge it right now.
It is.
Even doing your best, it's hard to dodge it. You can't blame people for having it. Everybody that has it, you can't say you did something wrong, because it's hard to dodge it.
Hmm.
Once it gets saturated into the community like it is, it's just hard to break. Go ahead, Robert.
Now, I'm just going to say that this is a tough call. I do understand the historic implications of why black people will be hesitant to take a vaccine. But I think we have to couch this in a more global sense, as, you know, there's something that we know that are bad for us. And we know that, you know, if you take too many drugs, that's going to kill you. If you drink too much alcohol, that's going to kill you. Eat fatty foods and overly salty food, that's going to kill you. And so I would like for people to take a more balanced approach. Those things, you know, they're going to kill you. Let's stop doing those, first of all. And then when you have something like a vaccine, where I'm not a medical person, and I just wish that the people who are making these kind of decisions, I just hope they have they're not nefarious or have any type of insidious intent. I've sat on the fence, but I know that in life we can't just be fence sitters. You have to decide. You can't go through life saying, "Well, I'm going to sit this one out," or "I'm going to I'm not sure which way. I agree with both positions. I'm going to at the risk of erring, I'm going to err on the side of take the vaccine, only because I have seen what this pandemic has done to our community. It's almost hard to imagine something that could be more devastating, including a vaccine. Now, if we were injecting this thing in people's arms and they were dropping dead, or they were becoming sterile, or they were losing their minds, of course it takes a while to see the effects of these types of things. But at some point, we as individuals, we have to make a decision which we feel is in our best interest. Just like we decide not to smoke, we have to decide, do I feel that this vaccine is going to be in my best interest based on all the information that I have? One piece of information that we do have is that this pandemic has killed almost 350,000 people and is disproportionately affecting Black folks. This could be the worst vaccine in the world, but I'm going to be hard-pressed to believe that it's more devastating to what's happening with this pandemic in our community. Every day I open the paper, I know people personally who are dead today because of this pandemic. So I'm going to go out on a limb and say, I would take the risk. I'm not going to encourage anybody else to do it, but I'm saying, as far as I'm concerned, I'm going to err on the side of the vaccine based on the information that I do have, and that's a pandemic that's disproportionately killing us. That's my take on it.
Well, thank you, Bill. Well, I think most people that know me already know my opinion on it, but basically it's kind of like where you're headed with it. And people say, it's you're going to still have to wear your mask. But I tell you, this is the only vaccine, the only hope we have for this at the moment. I mean, I know people say, yeah, we got Jesus. Yeah, okay. But I'm just saying, it's we got Jesus. But I think,
Well,
you know.
Yeah, well, those are false choices to say we got Jesus. We have Jesus with us, and Jesus gives us mind. Well, God gave us a mind and the ability to, and he also provided physicians and medicine, science, and a whole lot of other things that we can look at to make intelligent decisions. When people just get on this thing about just Jesus only, then that's becoming somewhat of a cult, because, no one can really, even Jesus would use things that the Romans provided as a part of the government, even some of their laws and rules. And so I think Scripture provides us with a great mind and to, not Scripture, but God the Almighty, or whomever you might believe in, or if you just want to believe in biology, however you want to do it. But I think it's a mistake to suggest that we'll be saved by Jesus, so don't do anything that's medical when we all know that would lead to massive deaths. So I would say get as much knowledge as you can about it. If you feel comfortable with it, do it. I definitely don't say never say never. I never say never. Just get as much information as you can. Don't feel pressured to do it based upon, the people on TV. Read up. do what you can do. And to tell you the truth about it, I've seen some kind of bad reaction to the flu vaccine, you know. And so I never took a flu vaccine because, you know, I know some people in my family had bad side effects from it. But then there's some people who, you know, who does not affect. My wife, she takes it, you know, she does well. I do know some siblings or family members who have taken it and had end up in the hospital the next day, you know, and don't know how they got there. So it's going to, you know, work differently, I guess, in different people. But the key is, you know, just always get as much information as you can when I think these things come out from the, you know, when you have a new vaccine. We went through vaccines, of course, with smallpox and all that. I think they seem to work out well, and I think they prevented a lot of deaths. So I just think, you know, we just need to just make sure that we're not the ones to be the test to. That's all I think most people are saying. But I think, Rob, you know, that's very understandable what you're saying, and we just have to continue getting this information as we go. And finding out more about what the side effects are. I think there have already been some cases where there have been some pretty tough side effects, especially as it pertains to what making sure you know what you are, you have as far as what you might have as a
allergy.
Allergy, yeah.
Allergic reaction.
Yeah, you have to make sure you know if you can find out what's in that drug and what you're allergic to. That would be helpful as well. But, you know, we don't always know what our allergies are until they, you know, until the body reacts or responds.
But you know what, Curtis?
If you can know those types of things, it's good. Go ahead, Robert.
This is what ticks me off, is that we have to be placed in this predicament.
Right,
that we
right.
can't have enough confidence and faith in the medical community, in the government, which is supposed to be protecting us and serving us and making sure that we are well and safe and not somebody out to harm us.
Sure.
History has been a cruel teacher. We shouldn't have to be making these kind of decisions. No other community, I feel, has this predicament before them. And I'm not mad at anybody who is suspicious. I don't call them names and how dare you take this vaccine, whether I can't do that. So this is one of the few times in life where I've kind of sat on the fence for a while. But I know as individuals, particularly during these times, during George Floyd times and pandemic times and racist, white supremacists walking down the streets in the nation's capital time. This is not a time for fence setting. Those days are over. You've got to make a decision now, Dave. I'm sorry. You just can't do that anymore. Right or wrong. Right or wrong, you got to decide. I'm just
And I'm going to tell you this, Robert. There's some very intelligent people on both sides of this argument.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Very well.
Yeah, that's
informed.
What I'm saying. That's why it's not easy. But you got to decide something. So that decision may
Check
have to
this
come
out,
down
guys.
To you one day.
Uh-huh. Check this out, guys. Here's something else that's going on. The Americans with Disabilities Act, you know, limits an employer's ability to require workers to get a medical examination. But the EEOC's latest guidance clarifies that getting vaccinated does not constitute a medical exam, and as a result, ordering employees to get a COVID-19 shot would not violate the ADA. So you will see this probably happening around the globe. People, employers.
What, break that down. Break that down again.
In other words, the EEOC is not putting the vaccines in the same category as a medical exam. So they can require you to get, you know, companies that hire you can require you now to get a COVID-19 shot and not be in violation of the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Wow. So you're saying an employer could require you to get a vaccine and it not be seen as a violation of a person's rights.
Absolutely.
Or worker's rights.
Well, you know somebody going to run with that. Somebody with bad intent.
Yeah. Right.
They just gave them a gift, the bad guys.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's tough. It's a tough deal we're facing. But I can say, black community, we have to look out for each other. And I'm not just saying it because we're black, but all communities. Let me say that before, you know, somebody texts me and say all lives matter. But we're specifically talking to the black community tonight because we are being attacked by this thing, you know, in greater numbers. So,
and all lives matter when black lives matter. But go ahead.
Exactly. So all hands on deck, folks. Yeah. All hands on deck, folks. We got
to
do our best to fight this thing.
Man, how'd I mind?
Is that correct?
Time is up, man. I wanted to say something before we left because there's a couple of issues out here that are clear. We might just have to just give a minute, at least just leave for food for thought. Trump today, well, no, it was last night, actually, he pardoned the four people, the four guys that were charged in the 2007 Iraq massacre, where they actually killed 17 people. 14 of them, they said, were totally murder. You know, they didn't have to do it, and they just murdered family, children, so on and so forth. And these four white guys, in addition to all of the other, I would say, people that Trump has pardoned, who I would consider to be partners in crime and corruption with him. But add those guys to the list. And the reason why that is so significant, because President Trump is the first president since 2003 to begin death row, federal death row, killing folks. So he's actually killing poor and black folk on one side, while he's pardoning some of the worst people on earth. These are people who are actually committing murder, and the international community is outraged, because to them, and it should be the same to us, if you murder a child and a wife or a child in Iraq, it's just like murdering anybody else in America. The world community is not looking at things like if you're an Iraqi or an Afghanistan person, or if you're from Iran, that you can kill them. And we shouldn't. So Trump did something that's really going to create a lot of outrage amongst the world community by pardoning some of these murderers, because he also pardoned some people in 2019 who had done something similar. But again, so keep your eyes on that. And number two, I just wanted to say, we need to think about the family of Harriet and Harry T. Moore. They are an NAACP family. People just Google it. Harry T. Moore. They were murdered on Christmas Day by the Ku Klux Klan. NAACP activists, beautiful people. Their wedding anniversary was also on Christmas Day. The Harry T. Moore, he died instantly, and his wife, she died after about a week. But Google Harry T. Moore and Harriet Moore and give them love, thought during this holiday.
Hmm.
Thank you, brother. Look, guys, we're going to have to get out of here. Christmas is coming. We got to get out here and do your last-minute shopping. But if I were you, I wouldn't go in those stores shopping and stuff if you don't have to. You know, I know you don't want to be that safe. I know that. I already know that. But we're going to get out of here, guys. You guys have a Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, brother. Merry Christmas.
Yeah,
I'd like to wish all our listeners a Merry Christmas. Be safe. Remember the reason for the season. And we're out of here, man. We're out. Man, I remember these Christmas, man. I remember Christmas weekend. So made me think about his daddy. Everything.
Now hear what I say. We wish
think that you could get us a good zoom on that song, Robert.
Merry
Christmas. I think it can sound like that.
To each one of you.
Put
it in the old box, like you did the mother song.
Yeah.
We have to learn how to sing it all.
I can do that part right there, though.
I can do the bass part. Oh. You know, one thing we never take advantage of is getting right up on the mic. You can do some amazing things when you're right up on the mic. You get higher than you can normally get, you get lower than you can normally get. Now, when you get higher, you get to back up. But if you want to get big bass, you get right up on it. That's something we never really mastered. But it's not too late. Hallelujah.
Yeah, man, I'm operating from the Holiday on the night, man. I'm gonna get on out of here, man. This dog got him on me. I'll let you tomorrow, man.
Hi, bro.
Be careful out there.
Watching it.